I was praying about the message today, and, you know, a Sunday before Christmas, you ought to have some kind of a Christmas message. I don't always buy into that just because it's a holiday, you have to have a sermon about the holiday, but Christmas is usually an easy one to preach about. So I'm thinking about all this, and I opened up to Luke chapter 1. In fact, you know, you can go ahead and open up there if you want to. Luke chapter 1. And I'm looking at that, you know, where the angel appears unto Mary and so forth, because that's kind of where this whole Christmas season got started, if you will. And I'm looking at that, and then I thought, okay, well, what am I supposed to minister on? And then I got some books out, and I started looking in these books to try and dig up some really amazing, incredible historical information about that era and what was happening at that time, and, you know, the kind of stuff where you just sit and you listen to it and you ooh and you ah. Then when the service is over, you pat me on the back and say, "Ooh, Pastor, what an incredible sermon. Slip me a 20 so I can go out and have a good lunch." Then slip me another 20 so I can take Kathy with me. And I'm praying, "Oh God, what do you want me to..." He said, "Go back and read that again in Luke chapter 1. So I went back and I read it again. Nothing really jumped out at me. So I read it again. And as I was reading it again, all of a sudden, something did jump out to me. And I'm going to share that with you this morning. So in verse 26, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. "And in the sixth month," and I can remember for years I was wondering, you know, sixth month? You know, January, February, March? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary's cousin. So, say it like this. "And in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Meaning I'm still a virgin. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." And we know what happened 9 months later is when Jesus was born, and the angels appeared unto the shepherd. The whole story is recorded there in Luke chapter 2. And just what an incredible scene that would have been. Well, I'm reading through that passage, and as I did, I noticed there was a sequence of events in there. In verses 26 through 27, this is when the angel appeared unto her. In verses 28 through 33, the angel declared the word of God unto her. Now, when I'm looking at that, the obvious became obvious. In that, well, let me say it this way. When that angel showed up, do you think that angel said anything other than what God had told that angel to say? In other words, you think that angel was just making up his own words, or he just decided, well, you know, I'm going to go visit this girl down here, I'll just say a few things to her. When he showed up, I'll guarantee you the only thing that crossed his lips were the things that God had told him to say. And that was it. In other words, at that moment, what he was delivering unto her was the pure word of God. Now, it later became Scripture. But even if it hadn't become Scripture, it was still the pure word of God. Well, in verse 34, Mary raised a question. And it was a fair question. She said, how can this happen? And I find it interesting. She really wasn't, in this question, she wasn't asking a lot of other things like, what do you mean, you know, the Son of God? What do you mean, Jesus? What do you mean? No, she just says, how can this happen? Because I'm still a virgin. It's like she wasn't questioning God, but she's trying to figure out the process. And the angel gave her the answer and explained, well, you know, the Holy Ghost is going to move on you and the power of the Most High and so forth. In her mind, and this is where we see a little bit of sometimes maybe our own thinking here. In her mind, she was thinking, the only way that God can do this is if I am involved physically and perform a work in the natural so that a divine work of God can be accomplished through me. What do I have to do? Because at this point, Mr. Angel, I haven't done what's necessary to give birth to a baby. So how can it happen? Since I haven't done my works, how is God going to be able to do this through me? And the angel says, well, Mary, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. In other words, Mary, you don't have to worry about doing any works. All you have to do is grab a hold of what I'm telling you that God says. And here's what God says. The power of the Holy Ghost is going to move upon you and you're going to become pregnant. And you're going to give birth to the Son of God. You'll call His name Jesus. Of His kingdom there will be no end. And so she listens to that. And in verse 38, Mary came into agreement with God's word. She didn't understand it. Oh, she understood about, you know, women get pregnant, women give birth and things like that. But she did not understand the part about how I'm going to get pregnant. Now listen to this. All she had was the word of God given to her by a messenger of God. That was it. That's all she had. And so I can just, in her mind, I can just see this. I do not understand how. But behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And as soon as she came into agreement with that word, the angel departed. What else is there to say? She's come into agreement with the declaration of Almighty God, and because she's done that, my job here is done. And so the angel leaves. And then, from that moment, the countdown began. And 9 months later, the word of the Lord became a manifest reality in Mary's life. In other words, the word that God had given to her by way of this angel was birthed into this world. Now, I know that during the 9 months, she's showing and all that. But that baby still had not been born. But in that 9th month, she began to give birth. And when she did, man, the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And you know, you just wonder, okay, well, thank God all that happened. But what if she had said, I don't think so? I don't know about this. Not married, I'm kind of young, and But she, in spite of the fact the angel could not sit down, or did not sit down, and give her, you know, on a blackboard, write out the physics of how this is going to work. He just delivered to her the Word of God. And she says, well, okay. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. And at that moment, man, at that moment, the angel leaves, and 9 months later, she births into this world the promise of God. Hallelujah. But I want to show you something that just really, this is the part that jumped out to me in all this. At least this year. Next year, who knows what will jump out to me. But this year, look in verse 28. This angel shows up, appears before her, and says, Hail, thou that art, now look at those next two words, highly favored. The Lord is with thee. And it was like those words, highly favored, just jumped out to me. She was highly favored. Highly favored of who? Well, God. Obviously, the Lord is with you. So I thought, well, what does that mean? She was highly favored. What does that mean? Well, that phrase, highly favored, comes from a Greek word, kerito, or something like that. But it's used in Scripture in reference only to the divine favor that comes from God and God alone. In other words, that word, that phrase, that word cannot mean, as it's used here in the Bible, it cannot mean anything other than favor that comes only from God. And what's interesting is that the angel shows up and he says, Hail, highly favored of God. Now, at the moment he said that, he grabbed her attention. Well, we know he did because, you know, she sees him and she's troubled and she's wondering, what in the world kind of salutation is this? And she had mixed emotions at that moment. There's part fear. I mean, what if an angel showed up in the middle of the night in your bedroom? I mean, or anywhere. What if you're driving down the road, 65 miles an hour, and all of a sudden an angel starts talking to you from the passenger seat? Or from behind, you look in the rearview mirror and there's this angel sitting behind you. Hail, highly favored. I don't care where you are. An angel shows up, it grabs your attention. And then, highly favored, the Lord is with you. It's like, okay, that sounds really good, but you got me kind of nervous right about now. And so he tells you, you know, fear not. But this thing about highly favored. She was highly favored. Now notice, this is the first thing he says to her. Hail, highly favored. The Lord is with thee. And that phrase, that word in the Greek means the favor of Almighty God, divine favor into your life. So as this angel is declaring this to her, what he is literally doing is declaring unto her her position and standing with God. Now, she didn't necessarily see herself that way. But when that angel shows up and he makes that declaration, Hail, highly favored. What he was saying is, the divine favor of Almighty God has been passed upon you. You have a position with God as being highly favored. Therefore, now get this, after that, he begins telling her what highly favored qualifies her to do. Hail, highly favored. The part about blessed art thou among women. Well, it's okay to have the favor of people. I want the favor of God. And so he says, Hail, highly favored. Let me tell you what this qualifies you to be. Let me tell you what this qualifies you to do. And he begins to explain to her, Behold, you're going to conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, give him the name Jesus. He's going to be great, the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. He'll have the throne of David. He'll reign forever, and so on and so forth. In other words, because she was highly favored, she was now in a position to be used by God to produce the miraculous and the impossible. All because she was highly favored. And you know, we read this and we think, man, praise God. That is so cool. I wish I was highly favored. I mean, if being highly favored qualifies you to be used by God for the miraculous and the impossible, then I want to be highly favored. Well, here's what's interesting. This Greek word that's translated highly favored here in Luke, it is only used one other time in the entire Bible, specifically the New Testament. I want to show you where it is. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and pick this up in verse 3. Paul is writing here, and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." You see that word accepted? That's it. That is the same Greek word, and I'll try to pronounce it again, karitao. That's the same Greek word that was translated highly favored. So you know what we can do here? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us highly favored in the beloved. Highly favored. In other words, what he's saying here is, because you are highly favored, this kind of favor only comes from me. It doesn't come from any human. It only comes from me. And because you are now in a position of being highly favored, you are qualified to do the miraculous and the impossible. But we have it even better than Mary. See, look over in Titus chapter 3. That little bitty book over there in the New Testament, Titus chapter 3. In verse 4 it says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared," there's the birth of Jesus, "not by works of righteousness which we have done," there's Mary's question, "how can I do it? How can I give birth to the Son of God? I don't know a man." "Not by your works, Mary, not by our works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Well, what was it that happened with Mary? "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall become the vessel in which God deposits his life, that you 9 months later are going to birth into this world, and that word and work of God is going to change this entire planet." And now God turns right around and he says, "Hey, listen, if you put your faith in my Son Jesus Christ, guess what? The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and renew you and wash you and cleanse you. And not only is he going to impart life into you, he is going to give you the life that is eternal. It's going to be resident in you." And then Jesus turns right around later on and he says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is" what? "Come upon you." Only for us, now that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're qualified for the Holy Ghost to not just come upon us, not just an impartation, but an indwelling, an inhabitation. See, with Mary, the Holy Ghost had to stop short of just jumping right in there. But with us, because he has first worked that regeneration on the inside of us, and we now have the life of God, we become a vessel habitable by the Holy Spirit. And so not only can he impart, he can inhabit, he can indwell and live with us day after day after day after day. And so here we are today, we're in a very similar position as Mary. And here's what I mean. See, we're now qualified to be used of God for the impossible and the miraculous. Now, this is borne out in Scripture. It's right here. And yet, man, today, Christians, preachers, will stand up in the pulpit and tell you that the miraculous has come to an end. Oh, they'll say things, well, with God, nothing is impossible, and then turn right around and tell you that the impossible has come to an end. And when you start to talk about doing the impossible, laying hands on the sick for them to recover, raising the dead, causing the blind eyes to see, the lame legs to walk, when you start talking about raising the dead and casting out devils and all these things, so many of them, they turn around and they pull a Mary on you. Well, how can you do those things? Nobody can do those things but God alone. In other words, what they're doing is they're trying to figure out how in the world can I by myself, by my own power, do these things because I'm not God. So therefore, these things can't happen. And you know, I'm sure that the angel Gabriel would love to show up and say, hey, it's not by might, not by power of your own. It's not by works of your own righteousness, but if you will submit to the power of Almighty God to move through you, the miraculous and the impossible can be accomplished by you. I'm qualified to be used by God for the miraculous and the impossible. Even Jesus Himself said, look, if you just believe this, then the works that I've done, that you've been a witness of, you can do these things too. This is not some kind of, you know, crazy whacked out theology. Man, this is the Word of God. And the thing is, Mary did something so many Christians don't do. She asked the angel, it's a fair question, how can I do these things? If I stand up and I tell you, well, you know, you can raise the dead, you can lay hands on the sick, they'll recover and do this and do that and that, then a logical question is, well, how can I do this? The angel gave her an answer. You don't do it on your own, Mary. It's not going to be done by anything you do on your own. It is going to be God moving upon you to release through you a miracle. Hey, Mary is the one who gave birth, not God. His power initiated the miracle, and she's the one who carried the miracle. She's the one who nourished the miracle on the inside. I mean, what? You don't think Jesus had an umbilical cord? Come on now. She's the one who nourished that baby on the inside with the physical nutrients of food and the oxygen and all these things. She nurtured the miracle until the day of its birth. And then when it was birthed, she wasn't surprised. This is the way it's supposed to happen. She asked a logical question, but then she did what so many Christians don't do. She accepted the answer. And she said, I still don't understand it. However, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And there were people that criticized her. There were people that come against her. I mean, even the fellow she's engaged to, Joseph, he was thinking about divorcing her when he found out she was pregnant. And the angel showed up and said, no, Joseph, hold on here. This is a work of God. And even though Joseph didn't fully understand it, he says, okay, we're going to be living through hell on earth when people come against us and accuse her of things. And when that baby's born, you know what they're going to be saying about him. But we'll do it. So he hung in there. So Christians today, when they hear things from the Word of God, Scripture right here, isn't it amazing? We'll read over there in Luke what the angel said, and believe that, and sing songs about it. But then when we read other things in the New Testament, came from the same source, well, no, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, I don't think those things are for today. Tongues? How can you do that? I'm sorry, that's of the devil. That's the same thing they said about Jesus when he showed up, healing people and casting devils out. They said he cast devils out by Beelzebub. And Jesus said, well, you guys are weird, aren't you? She accepted the Word of God, even though she didn't understand it. And she just went with it. And God is up in heaven saying, you know what? Mary wasn't even born again, but you could sure learn a lesson from her. I have, you know, that angel shows up and he gives her a word of the miraculous, a word of the impossible, a promise. That's what he gives her. And she bursts it later on. Do you know right now, today, in your hands, you have verse after verse after verse of the miraculous, verse after verse of the impossible? And God wants all of this to impregnate our spirits so that He can birth through us the miraculous and the impossible. The difference is whether or not we will accept it. Because the Bible says, if you have faith, if you believe these things are going to happen. So the only difference is us. God's Word isn't going to change. The promises are still out there. And it's up to us whether or not we will accept the Word of God. Mary accepted it, and look what she did. And it's up to us to accept it, to come into agreement with it, whether we understand it or not. I don't know how power can flow through me when I touch somebody and they get healed. I don't understand that. Well, you don't have to understand it. You just have to accept it. The Bible, didn't Jesus say, the sower sows the word? God sowed in Mary His miracle word. Now here we have this word all throughout Scripture here. I mean, it's just an abundant, overflowing collection of promises. And God says, I want you to take this and sow it into your life and sow it into you, into your spirit. But keep in mind, there is a period of gestation. You have to give yourself, let me say it this way, a spiritual 9 months before you're going to give birth to the healing and the miraculous. I see your 9 months. I'm not saying a literal calendar 9 months. I'm using that as a figure of speech. In other words, we have to continue to nourish and to feed that which has been sown in us. We have to continue to allow the life of God through, you know, the praying in the Spirit and the Word and so forth, just continue to feed that, to feed that, to feed that. And pretty soon, you know, our spirits, our spiritual bellies start to stick out. And the day's going to come. See, this is what you can't stop. You know, back in those days, they didn't have these medical clinics like they have today where Mary could have gone and terminated her pregnancy. I mean, back then, pretty much, you know, you got pregnant, you had a baby. That's just the way it was. You didn't have choice. You made your choice beforehand. So today, you keep feeding that. You keep feeding that. You keep feeding that. And here's the thing. It is inevitable. Someday, you're going to begin to give birth to the miraculous. You're going to begin to give birth to the impossible. You can't stop it. Any of you ladies who have ever been pregnant and given birth, if you started feeling those pains, you know, well, how far apart are they? Well, they're, you know, down to like 1 second apart. I think we better get going. Once that process starts, have you ever tried to stop it, ladies? Nah, I don't think today I'll give birth. But once it starts, man, that's it. And you're screaming and yelling, get me to the hospital. And then you're screaming and yelling, get that baby out. Give me drugs, just so you'll come on. You understand what I'm saying? I don't understand what I'm saying, okay? I'm hoping you do. I'm hoping I'm making some sense here. It's just like in the realm of the Spirit, if you accept it, then you feed it, you nourish it, you nourish it, you feed it. And the day's going to come when you're going to give birth to the impossible and the miraculous. And then people will look at you after you've prayed for somebody and they've gotten healed, and they'll say, how can this be? Why, man can't do these things. Churches will denounce you. They'll call you liars. In some cases, they'll demand that you produce the medical records of all the people that claim to have been healed in your ministry. That's stupid. I don't ask for your medical records. It's one of two things. You either got healed or you're lying. It's between you and God. I don't need a file full of medical folders, you know. If the lump was there and now it's gone, you got healed. Very simple. You can't stop it. If you continue to feed on it, to feast on it, if you continue to walk that path of your spiritual pregnancy, the day is going to come, you're going to give birth. And listen, these churches out there that tell you that, I mean, they have birthing services. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's disgusting. I mean, they'll have people that'll lay on the floors and assume the birthing position. How many of you understand what I mean by that? You ladies know what I'm... Stirrups. Well, they don't have stirrups. I'm waiting for the day till I'm going to hear a church. They've got, like, birthing chairs. and they lay on the floor and they start going, oh, no! And they simulate giving birth to birth something in the realm of the Spirit. I'm not making this up. That's stupid. If you do that, repent. That's just plain weird. And God help the pastor. Well, tomorrow night we're going to have a birthing service. Everybody come out. Bring your grunts with you. Now, I understand the whole thing about travailing in the Spirit, okay? I understand that. But to hold a service to where we're going to birth the miraculous tonight, and everybody's laying all over the floor, grunting, and can you imagine walking into a church service, and there's people laying all over the place going, breathe, breathe, breathe. Yeah, Brother Martin, you sure you never done this before? No, I watched a special. I was walking by Radio Shack one day. And you can't. That stuff's the weird stuff. Don't want to talk about the weird stuff anymore. The reality is, you're going to give birth because you're highly favored of God. Now, here's the thing. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God looks at you as having that position of being highly favored. Whether you take it beyond that or not is totally up to you. Because remember, Mary? That angel said, lady, you need to know something. You're highly favored. Now, whether you agree with what I'm getting ready to tell you, that's totally up to you. But you are highly favored. So right now, as Christians, we stand before God and God says, hey, you're highly favored. That angel could show up in your house today. I mean, as you're sitting there watching the Bengals lose another game, getting ready to throw something to the TV set. No, wait a minute. They couldn't sell out, could they? That won't be on television. You have to listen to it on the radio. That angel could show up and say, may I have a word with you? Nah, it's fourth and goal, man. Wait. You'll reach over and you turn the radio off. An angel will look at Gabriel, the same one that showed up with Mary, would look you right in the eye and say, highly favored. Amen. Highly favored. And you are qualified to be used by God to birth the miraculous and the impossible into this world. It's like the Lord gave me something. I'll pass it along to you. This is good. What world-changing work does God want to birth through you? There's not going to be another Jesus. We know that. But what world-changing work does God want to birth through you? I mean, think about this. Out of all the ladies in human history, only Mary gave birth to Jesus. Is it possible that one of you here today, somebody watching wherever you are, listening to this after the fact, is it possible that where you are, where you live, God wants to birth through you a city-changing revival? How about a family-changing revival? How about a family-healing revival. You have family members that are struggling with physical sicknesses. What if God wants to birth through you a family healing move of God? What if He wants to move through you and birth a nation-changing revival? What if that's what He wants to do? See, here's the thing. You're already highly favored. You're already accepted in the Beloved. You already hold that position of God being willing to work through you and produce the miraculous and the impossible. But the difference is whether or not we'll follow the example of Mary and say, "Behold, Lord, Your handmaid, Your servant, be it unto me according to Your word." Because I'm already highly favored. Praise God. It's totally up to us. And if we come into agreement with all that God has said in His Word, the day is going to come. We're going to give birth to the miraculous and the impossible. The title of this sermon today, Have a Merry Christmas, M-A-R-Y. Have a Merry Christmas. I want to give birth to the impossible and the miraculous. I am qualified because I am highly favored. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't you stand and rejoice before your Lord and Savior?